I'm going to be over the top. Say hello to the easiest way to find interested and qualified candidates.
Dude, you need to tone it down. I was just napping. You mean Uncommon's automated sourcing that turns passive candidates into interested and qualified applications?
Yep. Uncommon automation helps recruiters cut their sourcing time by 75%.
Well, how much coffee did you have today?
A lot.
Anyway, dude, 75%, that sounds like black magic or something.
Close. It's called automation. It's simple, actually. You just feed or post your jobs into Uncommon. The platform identifies your job requirements, and in seconds, Uncommon uses those requirements to search over 150 million candidate profiles. And then it pulls back only the qualified candidates.
And don't forget, you can connect your email and Uncommon will provide automated outreach with your customized messages to activate those passive candidates, those pesky passive candidates.
Even better, I'm going to one up you. Uncommon shows exactly how the candidate meets all the job requirements with a side-by-side comparison view against the job requirements.
Which means you won't be asking yourself, what in the hell is this candidate doing here?
No, but you will be asking yourself, where has Uncommon been all my life?
Seriously? Uncommon is the easiest way to find qualified candidates, active or passive.
Visit uncommon.co and use discount code CHADCHEESE for 20% off.
Uncommon.co.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
It's George!
Let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chad and Cheese Podcast. I'm Joel Cheeseman.
And I'm Chad Soash.
On today's show, we're talking to George LaRocque.
Yes.
George, say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself before we rip into you.
Hey, guys. Well, I think it's good to be here. I'm George LaRocque. I'm the analyst. I publish everything over at HR Wins and cover the HR technology marketplace, pretty much full spectrum.
Thanks for being here, George. Now, you're here for a specific reason. On last week's show, Chad and I, specifically Chad, had some issues with your recent survey. So before we get into the issues, defend your survey. Tell us what you did, why you did it, some of the findings that you had. And then we'll just discuss it like gentlemen.
Well, no. Before we go there, I would like to specifically thank George for coming on the show, to have balls enough to come on the show. In most cases, what happens? You hear a little whiny bullshit here and there, and then nobody ever comes on the show.
Or silence.
They're hiding in the fetal position like fucking Art from the CEO of DICE, right? So George, George says, fuck that. I'm going to go smack those guys in the face. And that's what I'm talking about.
Big balls, George. Thanks for all that. Now let's get it on.
Is this where you play the outro? Because that all sounds good to me. Let's just end it right there. That's good.
Not getting off that easy, George. Asshole.
Nice. So, so the way this came about, it's independent work. There's no sponsor, no clients in the work. And that's important to say right up front. And what was happening is I was hearing some things a lot, which I saw that the last straw was when a vendor sent something out and it said 73% of job searches start on Google. And I went, really? Is that a thing? Is that real? Is that real?
73? Did he source it at all?
No, okay. Of course not. But there is this, I'm not saying everybody thinks 73% of job searches start on Google. And I have a lot of respect for Google and what they're doing in the industry right now. But I was just, looking at it and saying, I'm not sure that Google at this point has had that kind of impact on where people start or what people are using. So I wanted to test it. So I put together a really simple survey, and I asked, you know, what do you use? Where do you start? What gave you the most relevant results and the most irrelevant results? And here's the thing. I was very thoughtful with all of my surveys around the kind of sample that I use. Now, it's independent work, which means I paid for it. So would I have liked to have had a bigger sample size? Of course. And a lot of my work has a bigger sample size. It also has a sponsor or an underwriter. But in this case, statistically speaking, I'm far above the minimum sample size to shine a light on this topic. And that's really what I'm doing. This isn't a verdict. I'm shining a light on this issue and saying, let's talk about this. And so it's a provocative headline. Yes. And that's to get
shame.
You to read
it. When it got us to talk about it.
You paid a company to do the survey. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. In this case, well, I wrote the survey, and in this case, I used SurveyMonkey's audience product.
Okay.
So I paid for the panel, and I set up the demographic as to, you know, 18 years old to 65 years old, 65 mm-hmm. years old, which is generally considered the working, you know, ages. We throttled it against census data. So I have, you know, geographically and generationally what looks like the U.S. market in that age group. The screening question is, have you conducted a online job search in the last 12 months? And so all of the responses are complete, meaning the 540 answered all of the questions and they all conducted a search in the last 12 months.
Do you know how many went out before you got to that 500 or so?
Yeah, I want to say it was like 800. There's just under 800 or just over. About
so 800. A blast of 800, over half of those folks have done a job search in the last 12 months?
In this case, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That's a hell of a target by SurveyMonkey. My big question was, I didn't really have a problem with survey size from the standpoint. My big problem was analytics platforms are everywhere. Real data is everywhere. Why are we surveying stupid fucking humans?
By the way, George, are you done talking about the survey? Because I wanted to give you like a full platform to go through the whole thing. If you're done, we can go at it. But I want to make sure you feel like you've had time to talk about it.
I'm starting to understand who the good cop is and who the bad cop is on this. So I appreciate that, Joel. So just to reinforce my point, I'm not sure if you got past the headline and the charts, but if you got down to the analyst insights,
yes.
The first sentence is, for employers, these data points shouldn't cause a knee-jerk reaction on your ad spend.
But they're going to.
And I talk about,
George,
what they should be looking
at. They're going
at.
No, they, to. I mean, they're humans anyway. So my big question is, and I totally get it, and it's like... It's like having the attorney, you know, sentence that's in there. You know, you can't sue me because I said this. At the end of the day, I totally get it. But this is a survey. I mean, come on, man. There are plenty of people that you can tap into who have aggregate data, source data. I mean, I can call probably four or five right now and start talking about putting together an awesome survey that is backed by data, not by stupid humans.
Well, we can disagree on whether surveys are valuable or not, but that you know, sharing that aggregate data and publishing it is not as easy as that. Like, that sounds good, and I certainly have clients, and you know, and there are vendors that aren't clients that are happy to share a view to their data. Now, will they let me go publish that data? Not usually, but I would say this. I think you don't like the answer that I gave, which is generally that it indeed wasn't impacted as greatly as we thought it was. That's generally what the survey says. Now, there was also the talent board just put out they saw this and they saw you guys beat up on me or heard you beat up on me. And they said, Hey, George, we've got like 100,000 folks who just, you know, answered what are they using in their job search.
Uh-huh.
It looks a lot like my chart, and it looks, in fact, it's worse for Google because they lump Google in with other search engines, right? And they're further down on the list. So I think it what this says is that, yeah, they've had an impact. They can have a much bigger impact. I'd love a bigger sample size, but I think we all kind of know, like if you do anecdotally, if you go ask everybody that you bump into for the next month that's conducting a job search, whether just ask them whether they use Google or not, they're going to say, I bet most of them will say, I didn't even know Google did that. I didn't know Google had a jobs interface. People are unaware of it. They haven't marketed it to the consumer.
Aside from that Super Bowl ad they just ran.
For veterans.
That's a good point. That's so a good point.
That might change.
You could. Yeah. I would say on the veteran side, it was change. Good. It was a good start to roll into it, right?
But how many families have a veteran in the family? Yeah. I thought it was a pretty genius marketing move because you look like you care about veterans. And I'm sure they do. But people who watched it, like, wow, they have something cool for vets. I bet I can do a search on Google now for jobs. Or, hey, someone's a vet in my family. I'm going to tell them about this thing at Google that helps them search for jobs. Like, I thought it was a really good marketing strategy from that standpoint.
I agree. And so, Joe, you clearly don't think that people are stupid like Chad does. So Chad has established that all humans
not all
are dumb. You think they would make the leap. They'd make the leap from veterans to jobs. I agree with you. It was a beautiful
I'm pretty
branding.
Sure Chad's a cyborg. So the fact that he's so anti-people makes a lot of sense. But I wasn't as angry about the survey as he was. He has some very passionate opinions. I have some questions about the survey for insight from you, which I guess we'll take a little break from Angry Chad. I was curious why there was no Facebook or Craigslist in the survey. Was that an other, or was it even included in the options? Was the question an open-ended answer, or do they have like options, you know, choose A for Indeed, choose B for Google, choose C for, I'm like, how did that happen? Because I was kind of surprised Craigslist and or Facebook weren't represented.
The options are what you see in the results. So other was an open text field. And I want to go back and look, but I think Craigslist came up a couple of times under other. There wasn't anything statistically like that I could hang a hat on. Like there were some niche job boards, like maybe one or two people used plumber jobs and some, you know, like things that are just super niche. A few people were like, you know, I used Indeed and nothing else. A few people said I used LinkedIn and nothing else, you know, things like that. But nothing that was overwhelming. But those were the options. Now, I don't consider Facebook a job board or a job search site, but I get why they may be valuable here. And Craigslist, though, I put ZipRecruiter in, and I think the segment that Zip goes after, I will be carrying this work forward. And, you know, I think it's a good point. I think Craigslist is a great ad. And
Mark Zuckerberg came out pretty recently saying that 1 out of 5 users use their marketplace, which includes jobs. It includes buying and selling stuff as well. But with as many people that use Facebook, I mean, 1 out of 5 is a lot of people. So I would have been curious, in maybe future surveys, you can add Facebook, because I'd be interested to see if that's on the list. And I hear a lot of salespeople from vendors of a lot of companies are talking about posting jobs on Facebook or how to get on Facebook. So that's just my 2 cents on future surveys that you might do.
Yeah, that's good input. And just for the sake of the conversation, the talent board data included they called out Facebook on its own, and it was, you know, it didn't perform. It came, you know, below, what is 1, 2, 4, 6, 7th on the list, 7th or 8th, underneath Career Builder and Monster. But it's up there at 16.8%. So it's definitely viable.
Yeah, that's no slouch, right?
Yeah.
So we actually earlier today got off a pod with Josh Wright, who's an economist over at ISIMS, right? So ISIMS is actually looking at leveraging their data in a much better way to in some cases help the BLS, but also to help their clients. So I think when you're talking about, there's aggregate data and it's hard to get around, I think times are changing and we need to take a look at being able to create market differentiators for many of these platforms, and the data is available and it's there. So yes, I don't believe, and this comes back from my days and working with RecruitSoft before it was Taleo, and we actually were testing some of our clients at direct employers, and most of the drop downs information that they received, which is pretty much like a survey when you're going through the application process, versus the actual referral codes that we received,
totally off, totally bullshit. So it's just like, I don't trust human beings to be able to do the drop down, the pick, and even remember where they ate last, for goodness sakes. Give me hard data. And I believe that there are companies that are out there, there are RPOs, there are staffing companies, there are obviously the ISIMs of the world, the CRMs and whatnot, that want to really differentiate in the market. You could prospectively help them do that and do it with hard, real data.
Chad, do you think George's survey is just totally worthless?
I am not a fan of using human engagement when it comes to this type of thing, when you know you have hard data. I mean, that's the big difference. If you want to poll people on their favorite pizza, yes, because I can't find that information anywhere unless I go ahead and like mine their Facebook or some shit like that, right? But at the end of the day, if you can go get the data, go get the fucking data.
Yeah, but you're awfully emotional about this. So let me just calm you down a little bit.
Provide good, solid evidence when people are making the choice, because companies don't do that now. They do it off of what the recruiters are telling them feels good. And it's all bullshit.
But let me point out two things, right? First off, I agree. I come out of the industry and, you know my history, both on the practitioner side and the vendor side. I've seen a lot of this data. I can validate that when candidates go through the hiring process, they usually get their source wrong. I don't know. It's some very large percentage of the time. Now, but here's the deal. I'm not asking them, what did you use to get that job? Because candidates, the way our market works, right? You like Google. I go to Google, I run a search. Google gives me the job on every single place it's located in the results. And then I pick one to drill in and I identify. A lot of times I go right back to Indeed because that's not in the Google interface, but it's down in the top results. So I could end up on Indeed. And then if I imply through Indeed or Monster or whoever, I think I found the job on Indeed because I don't associate back to Google. But I'm asking, what did you use and where did you start? It's a little different. The other thing is, how is that aggregate data, if it's based on those humans identifying their source? I know you're saying there's also the passively collected data now. I hear you, and I would love to pull together some aggregate data and really add, you know, really do some of that work. But I'm not sure that, in my experience, most of these platforms, they also have a hard time getting it right. I don't think it's pristine.
There's nothing that's perfect. I agree 100%. But I would say that though the data in those platforms much better than asking any monkey on the street.
Yeah. Okay.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.
I'm gonna put Chad in timeout for a second. I'm gonna ask a couple of questions about the survey that I hope are insightful and not aggressive at all. You mentioned in the survey that you were surprised that ZipRecruiter was so low, and I would agree with that, particularly with all the advertising that they do. What are your thoughts on why they came up so short in this survey?
Well, I'd be curious to know your thoughts because you spend a lot more time in the job board sort of, you know, ecosystem out there, industry out there than I do. It was a reaction of surprise based on the fact that they've spent so much on advertising, and that anecdotally, as I'm out doing, and this is not a big enough, you know, sample size, but I do, yes. I'm talking about these roundtables that I do where anecdotally employers have said, you know, ZipRecruiter is actually doing a good job for me lately. Yeah. And so I expected that to be reflected in the results. I thought that may be the surprise. Like, look at them. And maybe this is them trending, you know, doing this, continuing this work would start to show a trend line. And I'm curious about that. So in my gut, I feel like based on what I've heard, they're probably doing a little better than the numbers suggest. But, you know, I didn't write that because this will make Chad happy. I didn't have data about that. I just had feelings about it.
I mean, my only guess would be that, you know, they brand themselves as sort of an hourly retail, you know, restaurant service. And maybe the people that were surveyed weren't in that demographic that would think about going to ZipRecruiter. But I know they're getting more in enterprise and more into, you know, jobs that we think about. So as this thing goes on, I assume Zip will improve in terms of the number.
I just see the model being different. Don't you guys?
Maybe. I don't know if in the outside of our bubble where we know so much about these brands and so much about what they do, when I, anecdotally, as I ask people what they're using, Indeed comes up a lot. Indeed comes up a lot. And these aren't active job seekers. These are people who, yeah, I went and looked on Indeed. I was curious. Yeah, so I went and looked on Indeed. That's a definition of a passive job seeker.
Right.
If there is one. And if there is a passive job seeker is what I'm saying. But I think Indeed has a hell of a brand that Google helped them build.
Yeah.
And I think ZipRecruiter
is being generous.
Yeah, I think
Zip, conservative.
Yeah, on their backs. Yeah, I get it. But Zip is my sense is they're improving. When I hear their ads now on satellite radio every 10 minutes, it's about it's about employers and about technology and about matching and I've got to think that's going to break through to a potentially more sophisticated buyer.
So, last question, we'll get into some of the money news and what's going on there. You were partly for clickbait and getting attention, but you were fairly tough on Google as a job resource. And I would throw in there as devil's advocate, Indeed's been around for 15 years. Google for Jobs less than two. Or let's just call it two.
Yeah.
You know, they had the least relevant job results. I tend to think that it's going to get a lot better pretty quickly because they're Google. Although you were sort of rough on them in the survey, would you at least admit like, yeah, for a two-year-old solution, like they're pretty good or no?
They have the Google brand, which is not a job search brand. And I think so they, by doing anything focused on this space, they have had the impact they've had, even if you were to say this survey was gospel, which I say it's a point in time. I'm shining a light on a data point right now. Yep. But that being said, if they focus and are committed to improving their experience, and if they spend money on marketing this thing beyond the brand piece we saw in the Super Bowl, but really, you know, really, really consistent marketing, yeah, there's no question that the tables will tilt because they're Google. Yes, no question.
I mean, for me, and I've done, you know, I've been a Google guy for a long time and doing SEO and whatnot, and their MO is not really to advertise unless it's something huge, right? Like Android phone or something really significant. So to me, like for them to drop a Super Bowl ad on searching a job says that they're serious. It says that to me too, you know, in 5, 6, 7, 10 years in this survey, they're going to come out a lot better than they are today.
Yeah. Well, they also have to take a look at their brand because it's getting demolished in Europe. And then the actual lawsuits that are happening here, I think one was just dropped by the federal government. So, I mean, there's that whole brand rejuvenation that has to happen, not to mention kind of reaching down and making everybody feel good. I mean, helping veterans get jobs. I mean, who's not going to be happy about that? Obviously, the veterans are, but everybody's going to be happy right about that. So, I mean, it's a good play from a PR standpoint, not to mention, as you said before, to try to lightly roll out Google for Jobs. Hey, you can find a job here, too.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. And I love what they did for veterans. And the message overall, they've got a big brand issue right now, you know, and so many, the employee walkout that happened,
yeah,
you know, there's all sorts of the privacy stuff. you know, all of that, you know, testifying in front of Congress, all that stuff. They need people believing that Google cares. And, you know, jobs would be is a good way if they can be more effective in connecting people to jobs for both the people who do advertise on Google, the employers.
Yeah.
And the consumers, that's a great thing. I hope they do more. I hope they do more. But, you know, there have been some of these bigger vendors that are bigger companies, like Salesforce has been rattling their saber all around our space for years, have little impacts, nothing happens. They disappoint me.
George, you got kind of mad there for a second. Disappointment in Salesforce. I can't wait till Slack introduces job postings and you can get excited.
Yeah, Slack's, they're going to go public now. I'm they've got tens of millions of active users. They're really interesting and one of the ecosystems HR tech needs to be more tied into. There's a lot that's tied in there now, but that's where people work. A lot of people.
I think Chad and I would agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Hey, we agree on something, everybody. All that's
right.
Cool.
All right.
That's
sweet.
Let's talk about money.
Okay.
It's $1 billion, you said, more money flowing in. Is it going to continue? When's the recession going to hit so I can sell all my shares in Slack after they go public? Like, what are you seeing and what do you have to report?
So money in 2018, we saw just over $4 billion in VC in 2018. That's just almost four times as much as we saw in 2017, or that I saw, that I'm able to track, and I don't know of a better list. It's an incredible amount of money, and the big standout, just like it was last year, but even more so this year, are the job boards. Job boards, marketplaces. They saw what it was like $960 million, which is almost as much as we did in 2017 across all the categories in HR tech.
Wow.
Yeah, just crazy. Crazy. And it's everything, right? It's the niche boards, it's small investments in niche boards, and it's big investments in contingent workforce plays and providing additional services. So that's the standout. You know, the others are kind of predictable, like around the payroll market and in other areas, platforms and such. But the job board stuff is nuts. And Zip was one of them. $156 million went to Zip. And then there's a Chinese job board who they call themselves the LinkedIn of China, MyMy, $200 million.
What niches are you seeing that are heating up? We've talked about, obviously, marijuana heating up in the job board space. But what other segments or locations, industries are you seeing getting a lot of attention?
You had an opportunity there to talk about firing up the cannabis market, firing up, and you chose heat. That's it. You blew that.
You see what I did there?
Yeah. I'm seeing stuff across the board. I'm seeing a lot of focus though on, I don't know if it's a niche, but the what we used to call blue collar. Non-white collar is the term now. So I'm seeing a lot of that. I continue to see any freelancer or, you know, gig or contingent play gets. Seems like if you can hit one of those buzzwords and call yourself a marketplace, somebody's going to write you a check and see how far you can go.
Throw some AI and big data in there. Some
blockchain. Yeah. Blockchain, baby.
Yeah. Crypto. Hey, Ultimate Software, as you saw, I'm sure, just went, you know, was public, went private. With a sold for $11 billion. What do you think that means for the HR tech competitors out there?
I was on their analyst call yesterday and, they can't say much. It's, business as usual. In a lot of ways, it will be. The one thing they said that struck me, though, is their motivation for doing this was to get out of the quarterly microscope that Wall Street brings, and to be able to make investments in their R&D and in their go-to-market that were better for customers long term, and might not appease Wall Street, you know, in the, with a short term lens. So that would say, if that's accurate, if I would say that it means you'll start to see them come out with more innovative stuff faster. So they're doing a lot with AI and predictive analytics and things in that whole space. And I think you'd see more of that hit their roadmap faster. I think you'll see them get into the global market potentially more aggressively. Nothing about the deal smells bad to me. This private equity firm also has Kronos in their portfolio. And Kronos also went from public to private years ago. And Kronos continues to execute, and the founder's still there. And, from the outside looking in, it looks like to have been a good move for them. So I would guess it's a patient source of capital, and, we'll probably see Ultimate be a little bit more competitive up in the enterprise against Workday, which is where they've been headed for a while.
So much different than the Apollo acquisition that we saw with Career Builder, because they've obviously been working much differently.
any other IPOs on the horizon that might surprise us, George?
I don't have any IPOs, but I will tell you.
Any guesses?
No, but here's what I do have for you. watch your PR feed for about 5 or 6 new acquisitions and private equity deals, I would say, happening rapid fire in our space very soon. I can't get into who, but you're going to see a
We want data here, George.
I know, but I can't, I've been sworn to secrecy. And
you could have at least thrown out an iSIMS or Intello with a guess of who'd go public, but you got nothing, huh?
On the public front, iSIMS just had their PE deal last year.
ZipRecruiter, they got to go public soon, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not seeing it.
With the amount of money they've gotten, what else are they going to do?
But they just got it.
So you got to give them time, Joel. But you got to give them time.
I didn't say in the next 30 days.
You
I was
and
just
your
saying like, hey.
Gratification, Joel.
Oh, you want.
I'm just going to have to nail my predictions again for another year, basically.
So you asked me about, predictions about who's going to go public. I thought you meant in the next, 12 to 24 months. Sure. I think you hit on a couple of good players that could end up. Who else is there? That isn't already public, that's got like a platform play, that's, $100 million in revenue or more. Is there, you might see some of these middle market vendors, on the HR side, like the Namely's or someone, get from where they are today in the next, 2 years, and make a play like a Gusto or someone like Gusto or Namely or someone like that. But I don't see anybody imminent. Sorry.
That's okay. I ask the questions, you give the answers. That's how the show works.
All right.
Any thoughts on Dice? They weren't in your survey either. Were they in the other category?
They didn't come up.
Imagine that. Dice not coming up anymore.
Shocking.
Because they suck.
Shall we play a game?
Sorry, that was a live look at their innovation lab. Some new tech they've come up with.
Asshole.
I think that's all we got, George. We appreciate your time, man. Thanks for defending your shit, coming on the show like a big boy, and putting up with us.
Well, hey, thanks for having me here. It's always fun, and I'm always happy to stand next to my work and talk about it.
So any of our listeners want to know more about you, where should they go? What should they read?
Go to hrwins.com, and you'll see, all the latest reports right there, and an easy way to jump in by category and get to anything that interests you about HR tech or investment in HR tech.
We love you, George.
Thanks, George.
We out.
Love you guys.
Hi, I'm Tristan. Thanks for listening to my stepdad, the Chad, and his goofy friend, Cheese. You've been listening to the Chad and Cheese podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss out on all the knowledge dropping that's happening up in here. They made me say that. The most important part is to check out our sponsors because I need new track spikes. You know, the expensive shiny gold pair that are extra because, well, I'm extra. For more, visit chadcheese.com.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.